Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is the America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio. We have our home port crew, which today consists of Steve Cromer, and I'm Janice Cromer, the director. I first like to thank our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publications. For those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, and that is the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal Waterways. Then we have the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and, of course, the inland rivers of America's heartland. America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, or AGLCA, as we call ourselves, is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and, most important, curiosity about America's Great Loop. Our association's primary purpose is to disseminate information and enhance the overall experience for those learning about, dreaming of, as well as exploring and safely cruising America's Great Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org, and we'd love for you to visit and become a member. Our guest host this week is AGLCA Admiral Sponsor Curtis Stokes, Principal of Curtis Stokes and Associates. Curtis will give us tips on selling your boat after you've completed the loop. If you have any questions at all or comments for Curtis during our show, there's a toll-free number you can call into. It's 877-497-1815. Curtis, thanks so much for being with us again this week. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Janice. It's great to be here.
Good. Now, why don't we start? It's a hard decision to make when you're getting ready to sell your boat, and it can be an emotional one, too. What is the most important thing to consider when getting ready to sell your boat?
You're right. It is emotional for a lot of people, and we have to give some good and bad news occasionally to emotional owners, price-wise and condition-wise. But the most important thing to consider, especially in this market, is something that hasn't changed from what I said last year, and that is price, 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 condition, 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 and location, location, location. In real estate, you know, everybody talks about location, 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 but for us, if a boat, it's all about the price. You know, the condition, if it's really rough at the right price, somebody will buy it. If you want more money for your boat, then it comes down to condition. And when I say condition, I'm literally talking about just the cosmetic appearance of the boat. Just dirty boats are hard to sell. Just a spring cleaning, decluttering. My wife and I always talk, Jill and I always talk about HGTV and, you know, how they talk about decluttering your house when you go to sell. We would certainly have to do that when we sell our house. Well, you have to do that when you're on a boat. Now, I know it's difficult when you live aboard, but for showings, whatever you can do to declutter helps a lot. So,
Curtis, when you mention living aboard, I'm just curious. Is it easier to sell your boat while you live aboard? I mean, if you are a live aboard, can you sell your boat while you're living aboard, or do you recommend someone kind of move out and find someplace else?
No, absolutely. We sell boats that have live aboards on all the time. Someone who's doing the Great Loop who wants to put the boat up for sale prior to finishing, you know, and then close after they've finished, it happens all the time.
Oh.
But it's always difficult because you're living aboard, you have a lot of stuff on board you've collected, and it makes the boat feel smaller to someone who doesn't live on board. So you just have to keep that in mind, you know, when you're in that scenario.
Thank you.
So then,
Honestly, I can't imagine showing our boat when Steve and I are on board with all our clutter in this salon. Well, we work on the boat, so we have a lot
and I'm sure it's not Steve's fault.
And all that hooked up.
And I'm sure it's not Steve's fault. But so you go from price to condition to location, And if your price is right and your condition is above average, then location is the last concern that we have, because we sell boats all over the world. But certainly, if your boat is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, or Annapolis, Maryland, or Newport, Rhode Island, or somewhere where there are a lot of brokers and where it's easy for buyers to fly into to see your boat, you're going to get more activity than if your boat is at Paducah, Kentucky, you know, Grand Rivers area, which is just difficult to fly into for a lot of people. So location does matter, but nowhere near as important as price and condition.
Okay. Just another quick off the schedule question. If a person finishes the loop and sells their boat and they're not in a good location, do you have a list of captains to help them suggest how to get their boat someplace where it is more saleable?
Absolutely. We work with a number of delivery captains who can move your boat for you.
Okay,
it can
great.
Get a little
that's kind of daunting, you know, if it was just like, oh, my goodness, how do I move this boat?
Yeah, no, it can get a little expensive, but you have to look at the cost versus, you know, what kind of activity you're going to get, what price you're going to get. If you know, it costs X amount to move it to a better location and you're not going to have to consider a price reduction, then, you know, maybe it's worthwhile.
Sure. Okay, thank you. Now, how do you recommend a seller select a broker?
I would start by looking at advertising. What broker's advertising where? Look at boat shows. What brokers are showing up with boats at shows? Who's out there really aggressively in the market marketing boats for sale? There are, you know, quite a few brokers that are undercapitalized that will just put your listing on Yacht World and hope that you get a phone call or an email. And that's not marketing a boat for sale, but it's done all the time. What I don't recommend is that you hire a broker you meet at a bar or a restaurant or, you know, as just a friend, because those relationships usually go pretty sour. You can certainly ask for references, ask your friends and other AGLCA members who they've had good success with, and that helps quite often. You can even go on the forum and ask the question, and you'll get a lot of responses. So definitely ask around, get references, but look at who's advertising too and picture, would I want my boat in that ad?
Okay. Now, when you select your broker, do you get involved in what should you expect out of yourself and from your broker?
Well, you expect the broker to, I would expect the broker to submit a written marketing proposal, a pricing strategy, and a proposed listing agreement to start with. And that will spell out what they're going to do for you, kind of a roadmap of how they're going to market the boat, and follow it and make sure that they do what they say they're going to do. There are brokers that will take a listing and have no intention of showing the boat but asking the seller to show it each time. The broker really needs to be active in traveling to the listing unless they're only willing to take a listing in their immediate area. So you've got to ask these questions up front and then be available to answer any questions and help research information, say, from the previous seller. We often get questions about the history of a boat that we can't answer because we don't have access to that history, and maybe you do as the owner of the boat, and that can help in selling the boat.
So actually, the broker should be expected to show the boat at all times. I mean, in other words, you shouldn't get involved with showing the boat.
No, not necessarily. I just mean that some brokers, if your broker is asking you to show the boat every single time, that's not right. But certainly
okay.
Every broker is human, and we all have duplicate appointments. We have plenty of clients that we have to meet with, and sometimes it's physically impossible to be there for every showing. Some brokers like to show their boats and like to be involved, and others want the broker to do everything. So you have to decide what you're looking for in a broker and ask those questions up front.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt for a minute. I think we
yep.
have a caller on the line, Steve.
We do, and he has a question for Curtis. It's Keith. So, Keith, you can go ahead
hey.
And ask Curtis.
Hello, Curtis. My name's Keith Rising, and we're third year doing the loop. We're doing it kind of awkwardly, where we only move the boat a little bit in the summer and put it away in the winter. So it's going to take about 4 years. But in thinking about selling my boat, I think about the engine room is probably the, from my vantage point, the weakest point on this boat. It's in really good condition. However, cosmetically, the engine room is clean, but you do see, you know, a few rust spots popping out here and there and so forth. How important is that to selling a boat?
Hi, Keith. Yeah, thank you very much for your question. It's a very important one to me because so many boats I go on that are described as in immaculate condition, I get in the engine room and the engine mounts are rusted, especially on the outboard side where, let's say, a water pump has leaked or an impeller's been changed. And you have to remember, you know, salt water, especially in an engine room, is going to evaporate quickly in the hot environment. And so the salt's going to be left there, and suddenly you have all this corrosion or rust. And a lot of people don't see it until a buyer gets on board and goes, oh, look at this. This seller hasn't been maintaining their boat properly. And I half-teasingly tell sellers that, look, if you have a freshly painted engine room with freshly painted engines that looks like an operating room, you don't even have to have them working for a buyer to say, wow, this person really maintains their boat properly. I think I'll buy it. Certainly in the survey, that's going to come up if it doesn't work. But again, I'm half-jokingly saying that, you know, appearance is everything until we get into the survey. And so the first impression is critical in getting your boat sold. If I always, people tease me, I wear my khaki pants and white polo shirt when I go on a listing appointment because I want to see how dirty I am after I get out of the engine room. If I wear dark clothes all the time, nobody really knows. So if I come out of your engine room and I look like I've been doing an oil change, you know, there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, we don't have grease all over the place. But and while the last few years, as I've put the boat away for the winter, I haven't even been able to find anybody that would want to do an in-room. So are there your Janice Cove places? We're on Kentucky Lake right now and going south. You know any places along there through Alabama, Mississippi, Florida that like to get in that kind of stuff?
Keith, I don't know of anything in particular. We do have sponsors along that area. You can look in our sponsor roster. I suggest you do a posting to the discussion forum if you're a member, and you'll get a lot of input that way.
Yeah, Keith, it is really hard to find good help, unfortunately. We struggle all the time to find people at a reasonable cost that will detail an engine room. But I would recommend, if you're in that area, heading down to Aqua Yacht Harbor. I've always had good success there. I sell a lot of boats, market and sell a lot of boats there because there seems to be a few more people in that area that will do some work on your boat for you.
Where is that?
Okay,
sorry,
thank you very much, Keith. I hope that helped. I think we'll get on with our
questions. Where?
Iuka, Mississippi.
Keith?
Yeah.
Curtis,
I think
what
we're
about
having
trying to sell your boat yourself?
I'm sorry, Janice, say that again.
What about trying to sell your boat yourself? I mean, is it a difficult task? Is it worth trying to save the money? I know this is a difficult question for you, but try to be impartial and tell us about your thoughts.
Sure. Well, when I do my seminar, I do a discussion. I include a discussion on selling your boat for yourself, for sale by owner, FSBO, as we call it. And there's nothing wrong with it. It depends on your personality and how you like to sell things. Some people are better at it than others. If you have a strong sales background, maybe it's an option for you. If the boat is behind your house, you know, that is better than if the boat is 3 hours away, because I assure you, we have a lot of people that are just tire kickers or just looking for something to do that will waste your time. There are websites. If you Google for boat for sale by owner, a few will come up, and you can use those websites to market your boat. I always encourage any seller to create their own website, even when I have it listed for sale, because there are some people that either have had a bad experience with a broker or have heard about a bad experience or just don't want a salesperson to deal with and want to deal with the seller directly, and fair enough, we'll work as a team in selling your boat, and they can go to your website directly. I have several owners where when they get an inquiry on their website, they just forward it to me, and I follow up, and that seems to work well also. So there's nothing wrong with trying to sell your boat, but I always encourage you to try to come up with ways to properly price your boat by contacting brokers and getting a market analysis done on your boat before you just throw any high number on and then get frustrated with no activity.
Okay. We are going to break for a commercial, and this, believe us, listeners, is truly, truly, truly just a coincidence. Our commercial today is from Curtis Stokes & Associates. Steve, are you ready?
Ready.
Okay.
Curtis Stokes & Associates is a yacht brokerage company that specializes in great loop capable boats. Curtis Stokes is a supporter of AGLCA at the Admiral level. If you're looking to buy or sell a great loop veteran from a trusted and knowledgeable broker, visit the company on the web at curtisstokes.net, email curtisstokes@curtisstokes.net, or call 954-684-0218.
Okay, thank you. Let's get on with our discussion. Curtis, in today's market, what is working and what is not working in selling boats, and how is the market in general?
Okay, well, by the way, I love coincidence, so thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
What is not working is what I mentioned earlier, and that is a broker just putting a listing on Yacht World and hoping the phone will ring. What's also not working is not having enough detail in the specifications and photographs when you put your listings online, and that goes for sale by owners also. I find that a lot of buyers today don't want to be sold anything. They just want the facts. They just want to learn about what they're considering buying. So my philosophy is I give them as much information as I can and let them make the decision. I don't pressure them or anything like that. That just doesn't work in today's market. I do see some sellers who are very enthusiastic about their boat and talk too much about their boat and turn buyers off. You can see it in a buyer's eye. They'll start to glaze over and kind of lose track and get distracted. So let the person go through the boat, let them look around and get a feel for a boat, and they'll start asking questions about, you know, things that are important to them and not to you. The market in general has improved. As I said in last week's ending, that we're running into a problem with lack of inventory in some areas of the market, especially in the trawler market. The builders have not been building for the past couple of years, so there's not pressure with new boats coming on the market into the brokerage market and suppressing other prices. So if you find a boat that you really like, I would highly recommend you jump on it and lock it up. As an example, we tried to submit an offer on a 47 Nordhavn the other day, and the buyer dragged his feet a little bit, and not by much, and the boat sold to someone else, and he's not making that mistake again. There are definitely boats selling, no question about it, and a lot of sellers aren't putting their boats on the market right now. So in some areas, it's very, very dry for inventory.
Okay. What records are important to provide, and do they help sell your boat? I mean, I imagine a maintenance log is important.
Maintenance log is definitely important. Also, oil analysis reports are really, really helpful because if you have regularly done oil or oil samples, if you can show a buyer, a potential buyer, a clean record, that is going to give them so much more confidence in buying your boat. The problem we run into is that we have some buyers that have an oil analysis done when they buy a boat, and there's a anomaly in the sample, and it's many times will kill the sale. But if we can show them a history and say, let's resample this because it's not matching up, that sometimes will help save the sale. The other thing that we run into are ownership records, your certificate of documentation from the Coast Guard. So often we'll find the hull ID number doesn't match what's on the transom, or there's no hull ID number inscribed in the transom. If the boat's been painted, a lot of painters will fare and paint over the old hull ID number, and it is a legal requirement that you have your hull ID number on the transom, on the starboard upper corner of the transom. And this is something surveyors pick up, and they put it in the primary issues, and your insurance company or lender are going to make you deal with this. And oftentimes somebody's made a mistake at the Coast Guard Center and the numbers don't match up, so then the sale gets delayed until the Coast Guard straightens it out. So if you're listening, go grab your COD or your state registration and go look and make sure it matches up. It'll save you quite a few headaches when you do finally have a buyer.
Okay, now, do buyers use surveys to get more money off the deal? I mean, what if they want the boat and the survey's not really what they expected? Is it too late to renegotiate the price?
No, it happens all the time. We have what we call an acceptance or a conditional acceptance or a rejection in contracts. And so the conditional acceptance is based on the survey, and it says, we hereby accept the boat conditional upon the seller repairing the items listed below or giving us money off so we can repair them. And so often sellers will tell me, my boat's perfect, it's going to sail through a survey, and they're in utter shock when a surveyor finishes and says, here's the list of things that are wrong. Some things are just not that obvious, and you have to be prepared when you accept an offer from a buyer that there might be more negotiation after the survey.
Okay, so I guess maybe I'm a little bit ahead of myself, but you've got your boat in the market and you found a buyer. What is the process now? Is the survey the next step, or is there something else that needs to be done?
No, the survey is the next step, and I always recommend that you hire a hull surveyor and an engine surveyor. Quite often we'll have people say, well, I don't want to double my cost. The hull surveyor will do just fine, so I'll just hire a hull surveyor. But really, I've never seen a hull surveyor that can handle both properly in a day. They have so much to cover. They're only one human being, as good as they are. You really need both, a mechanic in the engine room checking the most expensive gear on board out thoroughly, and then the hull surveyor checking everything else. And especially on the sea trial, I've watched hull surveyors who try to run from the flybridge to the engine room and back up all over the place, and they're out of breath trying to cover it all. With the two surveyors, they're really covering everything properly, and I've seen both of them in the engine room where one is saying to the other, hey, check this out, or did you see this, or, you know, gee, thanks, I missed that, thank you for catching it. It's worth every cent. It's your due diligence. I look at it as insurance. You know, you hope that they don't find anything, but if they do, it was worth every cent. So that's the survey is the next item. Once you have the survey,
I've never heard of having two different surveys done. That is really valuable information. So there is such thing as a hull surveyor and an engine surveyor?
Yes, and an engine surveyor can be someone as simply as a mechanic from the dealership that handles the brand and model of engine that you have. If it's a Yanmar, you can look up the Yanmar dealer, and they'll come and do the survey. Now, I prefer true engine surveyors, and there in some areas there aren't many that are strictly engine surveyors. You have to have a mechanic, and what you end up with is more of an invoice with handwritten notes in some areas that tell you what's right and what's wrong with the mechanicals. That's better than nothing, but in, say, in Florida especially, where we have such volume of sales, there are actual engine surveyors that do nothing else, and they're very good at what they do. They do this day in and day out. It increased your cost, but it's worth every cent, I assure you.
Can you tell us what can you expect to spend on a survey?
Surveys vary.
It depends on the size of the boat.
Well, it's by the foot usually. So in some areas it's as low as $15 a foot, and in some areas it's as high as $24 a foot. Maryland seems to be the most expensive. I find the surveyors there are usually about $24 a foot. Florida, South Florida, runs about $18 a foot to $20. And North Florida and say, Alabama and areas like that, it's sometimes about $15. So that's the range, and it really equates about the same for an engine surveyor. They just don't base it per foot, but it comes out about the same usually.
Okay, I don't have any other questions. Curtis, is there anything else you'd like to say? I know you have a special offer for our members. Would you like to speak about that now?
Sure. Well, just quickly, after the survey, you have the acceptance. And so you look at your survey information that you get, and then you decide, do I want more money off? Do I want the seller to fix things? Or am I just going to accept the boat as it is and move on and buy it? And then I recommend you hire a documentation company. I know this is a big issue for a lot of people. They do it themselves, or they just hire their lender. Sometimes will offer it for free. But I often see mistakes in this area that cost an owner a lot in time and money in the end. So hire a professional documentation company. As far as an idea I had for an offer, out of respect to the AGLCA and all the Gold Loopers, is that what we'd like to offer is anyone who has completed the loop, that if you list your boat with us for sale, we will pay for your lifetime membership in the AGLCA. We'd like to see more Gold Loopers remain active in the organization. We'd certainly like to do more business with Gold Loopers and marketing their boats for sale to people that want to do the loop. We promote these listings as veterans, and it means a lot to buyers when they know a boat has already completed the Great Loop. So we just thought it would be a nice idea to kind of give back a little bit and to offer this promotion. So keep it in mind if you're thinking about selling your boat after you've done the loop.
And that is very generous of you, Curtis. So I thank you very much. Any Gold Loopers out there, if you'd like to list your boat with Curtis, just give me a call and give Curtis a call, and we'll take care of all the particulars. Do want to mention that Curtis will be giving two seminars at our fall rendezvous at Joe Wheeler State Park, October 14th through the 17th. Curtis will be going in depth on buying your boat and selling your boat in two separate seminars. Do have to tell you, we are just about maxed out on registrations. We have a few registration seats left, but if you are thinking of coming to the fall rendezvous, please register as soon as you can. We'll be starting, I would imagine by next week, we'll be starting a waiting list. Steve, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Well, the only comment that I have over and above what Curtis said is, whenever I hear about surveyors, I start to think about, I'm buying a house. What would I do? And it's the same general idea. I wouldn't buy a house without having a home inspector come in and a mechanical inspector, if I felt like I needed one, come in and go over the house and make sure everything's up to snuff.
Good point. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree, Steve. And, you know, even myself personally, if I were to buy a boat, I would still hire a surveyor, both a hull surveyor and engine surveyor, because as experienced as I am, I would consider myself biased in buying something myself. I would get, you know, there's too much emotion, too much excitement about buying something. Let an independent do it for you and give you the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yep, I agree with you.
Okay, well, I think that's it for this week. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. And Curtis, thank you again. Say hello to Jill for us, and we'll see you in about a little, maybe 5 or 6 weeks at the rendezvous.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.